Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? We got the big guns on the show today. Man, we got, y'all know me, Shop Talk Wig, T-Wig, whatever. Host of the Locked On Jaguars podcast. T-Wig, what's up, man?
What's going on? What's good, bro?
Hey, man, we also got Big Game James, 3-6. He done been on here many times. Friend of the show. Host 1010XL. Hey, James, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, not much, man. And basically, we're going to just break down, I guess, everything that's happening in Florida State football, man. Y'all ready to get in?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's turn this up.
Sam, man, go ahead, start it off, man. Give them a timeline of events.
All right, so basically what happened was somebody came on the timeline, posted a bunch of names, far as these guys are leaving the program, and everybody want to blame the players, and some people blame the coaching. But
let me stop. Don't even, like, nah. You gotta give that man put himself all the way out there and said he wanted all the smoke. He deserves to get either ridicule or he deserves to get adulation, because he did something that a lot of people knew, but nobody had the balls to do. And that is Nathaniel Greer.
Right.
Of Noel Gangbang. I want to make sure he gets all the credit that he deserved, that he wanted. Because he doubled down, said check his hit record, his check his hit, he's got storage on there.
Yeah.
When it comes to dropping hit. So I just want to make sure people understand that, because, again, per the social media world, because if he's right, he deserves everything.
Right. But
he deserves the same heat that these young men are getting right
now. Right. Well, what I want to say is, I think, and I know James knew this already. I think that these names was out there, what, 2 months ago, James?
These names have been out there for a minute.
For a minute. It's been out there for a while. I know I had told Brandon this, I know, a couple months ago, whatever. And I didn't feel comfortable talking about none of this stuff because, to be honest with you, like, those are those kids, that's their lives, and it ain't my damn job to be saying, why you leaving, why you staying, what's going on. I mean, I'm not here to break news. I let James and people that got more sources do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But basically, I think all this kind of started from the summer. You know, you can stop me if I'm wrong, James. I would say it kind of started from the summer. And I think the kids did everything they thought they were supposed to do to be good this season. I think they put in the time, they put in the effort in the offseason. I know for a fact that when the players left after Christmas, you know, once the season was over, they turned right back around like 2 or 3 days later because the coaches told them to come back. They came back to the campus, started back working out again. And this is why I don't give Norvell a lot of blame, because COVID happened, right? So you put these guys on all these weight training programs, COVID happens, they not having access to the nutrients that they need. But they're still working out. And what you see is guys are they beefed up in the offseason, but they didn't get their bodies prepared to play a football season. So you see a lot of soft tissue injuries right now, right? And I think guys feel like the trust has been broken between the staff and the players. You know what I'm saying? I think the Corndog thing has a lot to do with it too, far as he didn't want the players to train with Corndog. And that set a bad vibration through the recruiting world. And that's basically why I'm going to leave it at. Another point I was going to make before I let y'all go at it was the Deloach thing. And I talked to Rob, me and Rob Cool. And Rob don't give FSU insider information. I just want to be real clear about that shit. Like, he don't talk about what's going on with the football team. Like, if And I know, James, I know you probably know this. If you talk to Rob, it's about the kids, what's going on in Savannah, you know how they feel. It ain't really about no inside information. And I think he was upset about what Nate put out about his son was because, you know, Rob hasn't been out there looking to take his son away from Florida State. His son has been battling some things at Florida State, which is out of the coaching staff hand and out of his hand, right? I mean, injuries happen. And for Nate to put that out there, I think that's what rubbed Rob the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? And then another thing was about the other kids putting their names out there or whatever. Some kids can change their mind, and that's why I didn't want to put it out there myself, you know? So I'm going to let y'all go from there, man. Y'all go ahead.
So this thing is layered, right?
Yeah.
And I want to start by saying that people aren't wrong when they say that these players are mentally soft and they pay too much attention to social media in general. That's the society that we live in. That's the way that they were raised. That happens everywhere. Now, what tends to happen is that when you come into a new team, much like I can always speak to what I know with my boy's mother. Matter of fact, speaking of that, because this recording is on Veterans Day, appreciate you, Weed, and appreciate my baby mother for their service. But
thank you, man.
when you go into, from everything I've been told, is when you go into the military, you come in whatever you were raised. And the whole purpose of boot camp is for you to come out as one unit.
Yep.
No longer are you the individual. So no matter what accolades you had when you were in high school, as a freshman, you are supposed to be churned into something that is no longer about you. All that stuff was erased and evaporated, and now you have to re-earn them, earn the stripes. And that never happens because these guys are always coming to look at that. Secondly, for every big Rob there is, I don't want to bash, but all right, let me put seemingly, right? I want to preface that. Cut me, seemingly, Miss Thompson. I don't know Warren Thompson's mom. I'm just saying what it seems like. She seemed wild.
Right.
She's not a problem. Like, you have some parents that remember how good their baby was, and they always want they always see their baby like that.
Right.
Now, understanding that their baby's grown, in college is a completely different animal. Some people, I have seen the best of athletes or most highly recognized guys come into a locker room 4 years when I was at Florida State. It is the best of the best that are coming in there and all trying to be the greatest. And they understand that the team goal helps you realize your individual. So those are things that haven't happened over the past three coaching staffs for a variety of reasons. But to speak, and if you want to get more deeper, we can. But to speak to just this 2020 season, the pettiness, the shade, the downright unprofessionalism that has happened across the board is the reason why this season was set up for destruction. I have pleaded on my timeline. Because I also understand, having talked to Coach Norvell, having met Coach Norvell, having and liking Coach Norvell, you can get easily distracted and easily want to go back and paint the past worse than what it really was. Because no matter what you want to say about that 2019 team, that team was four-minute drives, which is only one drive, of 4 minutes or more, which is what we call basically eating the clock. Three of those in a season from being a 9-win team. That team last year was nowhere near as bad as what people want to make it seem. Regardless of the illegal formation penalties, regardless of the undiscipline that you feel, regardless of the dancing, things that just don't look like what you're used to seeing. The problem is that, so when you have media at every given moment trying to take what you're seeing now, oh, well, this team is, and taking things that are normal in any other organization, any other program, and making it seem like it's night and day. So what, you don't have music? There are plenty of teams that do have music. Damn near every NFL team has music. And that's the most professional of professionals. Neither here nor there. You've got coaches, quote unquote, getting in players' face. And yelling, and now they're saying, oh, we're being coached. Oh, I've never been coached before like this. Oh, I've never had this. They're talking about discipline. Oh, we've never had discipline like this before. We've never had this. Mind you, if you would go back 2 years in the spring of 2018 and you read the articles, you know what you're going to see? A lot of the same shit. It's very cookie cutter. It's the history major in me does not forget major date and major headlines. I see patterns. Dr. Maxine Jones at Florida State taught me to recognize. She taught me to look at history not by a series of unconnected events, but by a worldview, and you'll see that everything is interconnected when you look at things from a worldview perspective, not by just what happened. So we're going into that. The media has been extremely petty all the way up until 2 weeks ago. Actually, I'll take it one for, no, it's more than that. All the way up until the Notre Dame game. A guy who I truly respected, Iris Rafael, brought up the Taggart thing at Notre Dame. Even though Notre Dame has come out and explicitly said that that was not on Taggart, that was on their miscommunication, it's still being portrayed that Taggart did not have a walkthrough practice. Even though anybody who actually knows what an offensive walkthrough practice is knows that it is not necessary, nor will it lose you or win the game. It's literally it's just going through the motions. So we got all this stuff. Players are being coach, more discipline, more organization in the staff. Mike doesn't do anything. Everything is going smooth without a hiccup, even with the COVID. George Floyd happens. Well, first the young man, Aubrey, forgot his name, the young man up in Statesboro.
It's Hill.
Yeah, right? Aubrey Hill. Yeah, then George Floyd happens. There are parents like Mr. Deloach. It's not just him, but many of them who are terrified, not for their son's safety, for their son's mental, because these young men have been exposed and have not seen anything, and they're away from their families. And the one person who hasn't really communicated with the parents of the team, and I want people to understand this, and you might want to freeze this, and if you want to cut something, this is the thing. I was told by more than one parent, there had not been a parent meeting to formally introduce Coach Norvell to them. They don't know this man. So if the parents don't know this man, it can't vouch for this man, like the guy who recruited them for the last 2 years, or even Jimbo Fisher. Because one thing Taggart did do is do a decent job of getting to know the parents. But if he doesn't know, if they don't know you, you're not family, you're an outsider, it is your job. He said that on my podcast, March 5th, I believe. It is my job to get these guys to trust me. He didn't say it's my job to get them to erase the memory of Willie Taggart or Jimbo Fisher. He said it is my job, my obligation. Words mean something, especially when it comes from Mike Norvell, who is very calculated, who is extremely talented, who is, if you don't know any of these things, per the media, organized. Detail, knows how to get things done. He knows what he said. He knows what he needs to do. So again, we go back to the George Floyd situation. Please talk to our boys. Please let them know that you're here. Mike gets the opportunity. This guy wasn't on the beat. Damn, I'm gonna call him the wrong name. What's my guy's name?
It's Tayshaun Reed. And the guy we talking about was Ahmaud Arbery. I'm sorry.
Tayshaun Reed, phenomenal writer, is not a beat writer. He is a writer, like real writer. See, beat writer writes what happened, basically stays on beat. Writer, real writer writes about themes or whatever the hell he is interesting to. Tayshaun went to one of the greatest journalism schools that you could possibly go to. He's black and he's from the Ferguson area. So of course he's going to talk about, and he's there, he got his job with the first black coach. He got a chance to connect and talk about things with Taggart that some people have not been able to talk about. But there are many writers on the FSU beat that Mike Norvell, who is very smart, very calculated, very organized, knows what he's doing, could have picked to write an article about his response to those different situations. Hell, he could have called me. Somebody who probably before he leaked it would have made sure he got a chance to look over. Because I have a little bit more loyalty to the logo. I don't have any loyalty to any coach but Bobby Bowden. But I have loyalty to the logo. Tayshaun didn't go to Florida State. But just peep it. Put the dots together. African American gets slaughtered in Aubrey when he's just running home on the job. African American, no matter what the situation was, had a knee on his neck for 8 minutes. You're around the team. Statistically speaking, the NCAA says 70% of most of the FBS schools are African American. I'm going to have an African American writer write about me and my relationship with my African American boy. And he said something that could be misinterpreted. But we all know there's a big difference between I have literally communicated with somebody or I've reached out. You didn't send me a text. You didn't just stop at adding me on Twitter to say, can you come on and talk about this situation or my podcast? Mm-hmm. You text messaged me and you got a response. You communicate. Communication is a two-way street. Reach out is you just sent something. Now you reached is dope. You reached out and I didn't communicate. That's my fault if I reciprocated, but you at least extended the hand. It implied when you said communicate that you did something that was different than what every other coach in the NCAA did with their little colored boys. But you didn't. And you knew what that meant and you apologized, which I got that. But it was before the can of worms came out. Because when Marvin seen it, then everybody got on Marvin. And yes, Marvin could have handled it more mature. But in what world do we ask the 21-year-old to be more mature than the 38-year-old that's making damn near $5 million a year? In what world do we say the boss needs to be more mature than the damn employee? You're the boss for a reason. That's really when this can of worms ended. And again, to go back to Mike Norvell's words, I have to earn their trust every day. It's so much harder to earn that trust than when it's actually initially given to you. So, I mean, those are the things like when you just brought that up. But like, that's when really all of this stuff started spiraling out of control. You didn't talk to parents before then, but now you're ready to hop on the phone and start talking to parents. When they people say, like, you lie about my little boy.
Right.
And now you're telling people in interviews that we got to get the right guys, we got to get this. It's just a lot of, it's going to end, if he doesn't get humble himself and get this under control, he's going to be white tagger. And I don't mean from a coaching perspective, Taggart didn't get fired because of one event. The organization, the lack of stuff didn't happen because he forgot how to coach. It was death by the cut. It was a lot of little things that just added up and became a whole mess of big things. So, I mean, that's just a long narration to get to the season, but that's really what happened.
Okay. Wiggins.
Yeah, man. So for me, I always acquiesce to big game and those dudes. I'm real, real careful to make sure that the guys that did mat drills and ate dirt over there, I really don't question what they do or say. And the reason why I do that is because you can't tell me, it's like me with the military. You can be patriotic. Just because I served don't make me more patriotic than somebody else, but it hit a little different because I did. You feel me? So I love the nose, but nobody's talking that has actually played and that shit is in their blood. I tend to not really question them. Sometimes I laugh when they disagree with each other because I just sit back with some popcorn and be like laughing at the shit because I'm like, those guys are disagreeing with each other. But I'm not going to get into a spat with one of them. I'll just call one of them and say, hey, get this motherfucker because he's talking shit. But what I won't ever do is, my only thing is, and this is just me, there are people out there that get on my fucking nerves because they blame Mike, like Mike fired Willie. Mike didn't fire Willie. Mike took a job.
Right.
And so with as eloquent as what James just said, he's right. But I also know if that was me and I was the coach, I tell some of them kids and them parents to kiss my ass because they get on my nerves. They are soft. They are soft. And some of them talk too goddamn much. And some of the parents need to sit down somewhere and quit playing this mom and daddy ball. And everybody does, whether it's a former player, whether it's a trainer, whether it's Luke with his ass down there in South Florida talking about the doors closed to South Florida. Everybody sometimes think that they have a little bit too much say in the. If everybody who has a voice has as much say or is as important as they think they are, then there ain't no room left for the coach to do shit. Sometimes people got to be quiet. You got former players breaking down the goddamn defense, saying they calling the defense out. I mean, I'm talking about, you don't think you really want your team to get better. You don't think a recruit is looking at you like a hero and saying, I ain't going there. How the fuck a recruit going to go there? And a dude that he look up to is sitting there breaking the defense down, saying how this guy sucks. There's a lot of former players that can't coach, bro. Straight up.
Yeah.
That's why they're not coaching, because they're not willing to put the work in. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I saw a dude on Twitter ask Jimmy Smith, man, will you please go coach the receivers? And he's oblivious to the fact that Jimmy's best friend is the damn receivers coach. You think Jimmy wants to fire his buddy? Who for the last 15 years done busted his ass to get that job? You think Jimmy think that's funny? So it's like sometimes people are twisted with the things that they say, don't even realize what they're doing. So my thing is, what I tell people sometimes is, be honest. Blame Mike. What Mike has done for me, to me, what he's done is, the worst thing he did, I pointed it out the other day. I don't care how long you've been recruiting Chuba Purdy. In what world did you look at that kid and think that he was Jeff Sims? He was equal to Jeff Sims or better. In what world did you see that kid? In what world did you see that kid on tape? And then I don't give a damn if you saw one game of Jeff Sims. I don't care how long you have been had a relationship established with that kid. What tape did you see that boy and then look at Jeff Sims and say, well, we got a guy? I'm sorry. Get rid of that dude. If you got Jeff Sims, though, hey, you go tell Chuba and his mom and his daddy, he can go to Louisville because we got somebody already. This is your job, man. That's the part that pisses me off. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt, just like I get. So Willie, let me tell you about Willie. I'm going to go backtrack a little bit with Jane. You're right, James. They were 1%. But I always thought that they were one possession away from being 9-3. I didn't think those games should have been that close in the first place. I'm like, yeah, in spite of all of this stupid shit they've been doing, they can still win. And then what did they do to lose? The same stupid shit they did to be in the, to have the game that close anyway. That's the way I saw it. They should have been up 3 touchdowns. But what happens? At the end of the game, they did what they've been doing all game to lose it. That's the way I saw it. Why the hell are you fair catching the ball against Boise State and you got all these athletes? You came into the game saying you're going to do fair catch. Your dude's catching kickoffs on the 5-yard line and y'all fair catching. I just don't understand. They was doing shit for no reason. You got your receivers lined up 2 inches from the sideline. I don't get it. It was just stuff that he did to himself. At some point, it became indefensible. And I was like, yeah, he out of here. And then, you know, the communication skills and looking bizarre and looking bewildered. I'm like, at some point, the optics started pointing in a different direction, especially when people start talking about pulling their money. So he got fired. There's a lot of people that support Florida State that won't let that shit go. And because they won't let it go, that starts to come and creep into everything. Everything about Mike that goes wrong, they keep bringing up Willie. Man, Willie ain't walking back through that door, bro. Don't let that be the reason why that taints every single thing that you say is wrong about Mike. So, Mike, to me, did you have to tear everything down in order to try shit right? Could you find a way to win some of these games? The best form for him is Alex Atkins. I don't even understand what I'm going to tell you something, though. And this is what made me think that there's something else going on. There's something else at work. Well, I don't even think you want Odell on the coaching staff. Why would you at FSU football put out a video of a fourth-year defensive lineman that can't do a read-react drill? You put the video out of dirt and ass. He can't even bend down. And the hamstring, you can cut that part out. The boy hamstring is about to explode because he can't bend down. You showed him not knowing how to do a drill. And he'd been on the Odell's tutelage for 4 years. Do y'all remember that? It was the FSU football. They put it out there. Yeah. Why would you show that? Why would you do that? You know why you do it? Because I think you're trying to embarrass the person that was supposed to be teaching them for 4 years. How could this boy be on campus for 4 years and he can't do that? And why would you release it under FSU football? I'm thinking you're trying to embarrass his position coach. I'm thinking you're saying, look, this is what I'm dealing with. I don't have a problem with him, with these dudes. There have been enough things on that football field. Y'all, James has broke down alignment to me, and there's some things that have gone wrong. By the way, Sam, you still wrong about that play against Louisville. That was on the linebacker. I'm trying to tell you that. I don't know how many times I got to tell you. If that defensive end, if number 11 can't make that play, unless he's Von Miller. And James told me that. And if he shifts inside, they run a naked bootleg and that quarterback walks into the end zone. So the thing is this. There are things you see on tape sometimes. We can talk alignment and we can talk all of that stuff. Why on earth it is not the coach's fault a lot of times when I see stuff happen? When I see a guy who can just make a tackle and he grabs a guy's face mask, that's on him. When I see a guy like Gant go for a kill shot and he don't even wrap up, it's on him. You know how to tackle. Maybe they're allowing him to do that stuff. But when I see a coach over there getting on him about it, I wonder how many times has a coach told him not to do that? Or when I see a coach put his hands on his head like, I done told this boy to stop doing that. Gant did it the other day. He ran at a guy with his arms to his side trying to knock the guy in the next week, and the dude got away from him. And he could have stopped and shorted the first down. I'm thinking like, this is stuff that you learn in Pop Warner. This is stuff you learn in Pop Warner. Right. So I want to ask y'all something. When they needed a 6'2 corner with speed to go against that boy at North Carolina, did y'all miss Isaiah Bolden that night?
Ooh. I mean, yeah.
Did y'all miss Isaiah Bolden, a guy with track speed who was 6'2 with long arms? So when I look at them and they judge their talent at quarterback, how many other guys have they misjudged?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep.
Why is Nico Dotson playing and Isaiah Bolden is gone? and they switched his position.
Yeah, and Miko got a hip injury.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't trust him. I don't. The quarterback situation makes me. Why was Zero playing running back so much the other night after Webb had the great game against North Carolina? Why is he not even featured?
I've been saying that from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that's making me scratch my head saying, now, wait a minute. Maybe he don't know what the hell he's doing. Because after the North Carolina game, it looked like number 8 was supposed to be the feature running back. So what is Zero doing in there all these times?
North Carolina, the whole season.
Mm. So I'm lost. So now I'm lost. So now I told y'all I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But now when I start seeing stuff, now it's time to lay off in his ass too. And this ain't got nothing to do with Willie. This got something to do with him.
Right. Well,
I give him credit, but one thing I would give him credit for, and this is a big deal to me, he came in, he gave Toothpick every chance he could, man. And I praise him for that because we always talk about how these black quarterbacks don't get a shot. He came in, man. He said, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against that boy. That boy, whatever that happened to that dude in the past, you know what he came in and did? He gave the hardest working dude in the building a shot. That's why I praised him for what he did with number one. Because everybody said he's the hardest working dude in the building. The hardest working guy in the building, he gave him a chance. He did what coaches always talk about doing. He actually did that shit.
Yeah,
that's why.
You can't go back to him, though. Once you realize
I realize that. I'm talking about the opportunity he gave
in the beginning.
In the beginning.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I want you to clarify.
Right.
Something I'm going reverse, but I'm gonna go with it. See, this is the problem is Mike was never touted for his recruiting, which it's funny when I hear people say you gotta flip the roster when you got to flip the roster with something that's not a strength. If that was a strength, he would have came in with a good recruiting class. But let's get ahead on that. Dan Mullen, if you ask Dan Mullen, Daniel, who's your ideal quarterback for you at the University of Florida? I can almost promise you with certainty that he would not say the kid who's going to possibly lead me to a playoff. And the kid that I have in Heisman contention would be a guy who never started a game in high school. See, a good coach, a good X's and O's mind can take what is on a roster. And that's how you flip a roster. See, the problem is...
Like Jimbo did with Christian Ponder? Like Jimbo did with Ponder?
Exactly. Okay. But Christian was technically Jimbo's guy.
I'm just saying.
Jimbo recruited Christian.
Right.
So what I'm saying is this is the thing, is that it's not about Willie or him. It's about – when it becomes about Willie, it becomes about Willie because everything that we do in our culture in the last 4 years has been predicated upon how people argue about politics. You had a guy who was a coffee-colored gentleman who came in for 8 years, and some people love how he ran the country, some people didn't. But some people were so aggravated with how he ran it that they brought in the reality TV star to come in for 4 years. And everything got better, even if it got worse. And he was not held to the same standard. It only becomes about Willie because he's not being held to the same standard. And I'm going to tell people, I think I've said this on your show every time I've been on it, Sam. Facebook has this great thing called On This Day. And it tells you on this day what happened. Yesterday, a legend, a great friend of mine, a one, Peter Ward, 2018, in the beginning of November, so the latter half of the season, is pleading with FSU fans to not blame players, to not blame coaches, to give them the benefit of the doubt, and be knows and support them no matter what. Peter Ward got a lot of good things to do. He ain't doing that for his health. He did that because people did not wait until the end of the first season to get on Willie. People crushed, rightfully so, they crushed Willie after the Virginia Tech game. They crushed it before it started. So what happens is we talk about how soft players are. Who the fuck raised them? Mm. There you go. The society that raised them. So the society that says it's good for the goose, but it's not good for the gander.
Right.
Don't pick on me while I picked on you. It's the same people that say if the election holds up, please give us grace. Don't come after us like we came after you for the 4 years drinking liberal beers. That are now, that's what they're saying now. If you would have shut the fuck up and just let it be what it was, like just let the true stat do what any big boy university would do. For 3 years, you fire a coach after 3 years. Had you done it the right way,
a year and a half,
we would be firing Willie right now.
Right.
We would be firing him now, and we would be getting a guy like Hugh Freeze. But the reality is, and you're right, it's not his fault. He's here, but it's really the people are having misplaced hate. Their hate shouldn't have been on Tag nor Norville. It's the admin. You don't fire a coach in 21 games to hire a group of five guys. That is a big boy move. That is a big balls move. You don't fire him for Mike Norville. Mike Norville wasn't going nowhere. And if he was, you're Florida State. The first time you did, you didn't get Willie Taggart from, and people, and this is about Willie. Willie Taggart had the chance to go to Florida or anywhere else or stay his ass in Oregon. People forget, Papa Phil, Uncle Phil, matched the offer for Florida State. He did not just let him walk. We want to say he was a bad coach now, but Oregon went super nil. So much so that the initial staff that he wanted to come in, they literally overpaid everybody and gave him $500,000 in Nike stock so that he wouldn't be successful. FSU admin brought this man in here. A little bit more similar things for Norvell too. Cut his recruiting budget, but said you got to take a number 60 recruiting class and make it into a standard little class. So you cut his recruiting budget. We got coaches flying coach to go see. And you know ain't no direct flights out of Tallahassee.
Nah.
We need you to go see somebody in Chicago during a snowstorm. But you got a layover. You got a 3-hour layover in Atlanta. Meanwhile, Florida's hopping multiple private jets and dropping coaches off. You're against the eight ball, and everybody else is doing well, and you don't even want to at least show that you have a skeleton of something where somebody can be successful. So it's not Willie or Mike. It's really the admin, and it's been consistent. They did it for Bobby. Bobby won his fight up. They did it for Jimbo. Jimbo won his fight up. Every time Jimbo had to fight and complain or say, I'm about to leave, it was literally just, it wasn't just for more money. It was for more money for analysts to make sure his analysts had health insurance to hire a true. Do you realize we have three people that work recruiting full time for us? As opposed to Alabama and Florida, who have 10. Actually, excuse me, let me rephrase that. They have 10 people who are paid, and they have 10 student assistants. We are running our operation like a JV program. We should be Wake Forest. We're lucky to be Florida State. And that's the real reason you have it. So while it will take time, while I believe Mike should not be fired because you don't fire coaches in a short amount of time, you don't create a carousel because it only creates more instability. But what he does need to do is humble himself, and the craziest thing is, Willie hired his homeboys, but Willie hired three people that he's worked with in the past. Mike has hired 7 guys that he's worked with in the past. The person who actually hired his homeboys was Mike. The person who's actually doing everything that they accuse, and we all know it's code. We know it's code. We know what that means when you hire your homeboys. The person who's doing all the code was actually the white boy. But what they need to do is, I'm saying, increase the amount of money that he has available to him.
Yeah.
Give him the support. Force him to hire somebody to give him the guidance. Because the thing that Mike has only been a head coach for 4 years. He came from Arizona State before he came to that. He hasn't been coaching for very long. He doesn't really come from a coaching tree. So there is nobody he can even rely on to even tell him how to get himself out of this problem. He's not from Belichick's tree. He ain't from Saban's tree. He ain't from no tree. And everybody talks about his tree, but who the hell does he come from? All the coaches who are successful right now, they come from a tree. Most of them.
Right.
Or they've at least been in multiple spots. Or, and even if they come from a tree, like a Dan Mullen comes from Urban Meyer tree, they all did JV Power first. It made the JV Power 5 program good first. Before they got their head, before they got their true head coaching job. Mullen, and it hurts me to say that, because even their level of success is has a ceiling to it, because they're not going to beat Bama. But Mullen is where he's at, but it took him decades to get to where he's at. He's earned where he's at. This guy is 3 years too early for his job, and we got to give him on-the-job training, which isn't what you should be doing at Florida State.
Yeah. Okay, but let's – okay, so first of all, this is not a podcast saying we're going to – let's fire Mike Norvell. We don't need to fire Mike Norvell, all right? We don't need to do that. That's out of the – that's – it's just not going to happen. No reason to talk like that. I think the big thing is how deep is this hole, and has he dug himself too much into this hole? Has he started digging himself into the hole? And I think he has – done that, and I think he can turn it around. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's crazy. He can turn it around, but you can't act like even with Jimbo. I'm going to use Jimbo for example. Jimbo came from Auburn, and he came from LSU. He had a national championship before he got to Florida State. That's cachet that you can go into living rooms, and you can sell that, and you can flip a culture. You could tell LaMarcus Joyner, hey, man, I recruited DBs in South Florida. I won national championships with Nick Saban. I can do this. I think that's the problem, right? That's the problem, because I think he did destroy relationships. That Corndog thing, and James, if you want to speak to it, we can speak to it. The Corndog thing is a big deal to me. I think that's a huge deal, and I think that really sets him back. He needs to make good.
I think the Corndog thing, again, is less on Mike and more on Adam.
Right.
That came from compliance, and our compliance has such a fear of everything. We are a ask permission. Excuse me. Yeah, we're ask permission first, then do it. Whereas everybody else is, we're going to do it, then ask for forgiveness.
Right.
I do believe you should go and. I agree with what T-Wick said earlier. Now, I agree with it to an extent, because I don't think these recruits are stupid either. I don't think a recruit needed Antonio Cromartie to say that the film sucked, that the defense did this. They watched it. Mm. They saw us get motorboated. So, like, they know that there's something wrong, even if they don't know exactly what's wrong. I also think for every Antonio Cromartie, there's Corey Simon and Marvin Jones who are blowing sunshine and rainbows. So I think it kind of like maybe balances itself out. But I think for the fan who wants two-thirds of football knowledge, those are good breakdowns, because I think really, and this is no offense to you guys, but because I like your podcast, obviously I do it, but I think the problem for Florida State is they got too many podcasts. Too many people want to be journalists.
Right.
You know, and not even so much that, because I think podcasts are the way that we can have a group chat and a more public forum. I think it's just too many people trying to break down film that don't know what the hell they're looking at. And that's catastrophic too. But I think guys like Korn, who are involved in the day-to-day, do help recruiting, but I just think you got guys like Kyle Hall, who's had two or three top prospects come out of Live Oak Swanee in the last couple of years that have gone to rivals.
Yeah.
You got guys like Brian Allen, who's at Lake City Columbia, you've gotten a couple guys, but you've had some powerhouses. There's a guy here in Jacksonville who's a teammate of mine who coaches at Trinity Christian that literally puts out DB after DB that we haven't even had a chance, dating back to Jimbo. in Tampa, you've got all kinds of FSU connections. Orlando, Miami, Snoop Menis has already told you. Anybody you want to get, let me know. And there are guys that will, again, we're loyal to the logo. All you got to do is equip them and tell them what you want, and you'll go get it. And I think there, and I rightfully so, I think there's arrogance because you don't know them and you're afraid. I think there's some trepidation that, you know, the last two coaching staffs have had. But I think you got to embrace the past. And again, I hate using this guy because he's a rival, but you see it with Mullen. McElwain didn't try to impress Spurrier. Mullen did. And now Mullen is endeared by Spurrier. So you know what Florida fans are? They're endeared to Mullen. Like, it's pilot. You got to play. The best thing about Bobby Bowden was Bobby Bowden knew how to play the game bigger than he knew how to play X's and O's. That all shut attitude in the press conferences, that's him, but that ain't really him. That man got teeth. That man is a goon. That's why I believe what happened with PK might have happened. Not that Bobby's a bad person. This is that you don't have Mickey Andrews of the world working for you if you ain't got no teeth and you ain't got no backbone. It just don't work like that. You got to be able to show you with out sometimes. People know you got the largest one in the room. So, I mean, these are just some simple things like that can happen. But Compliance was afraid with Corn. Compliance was afraid that he might have been trading up for free, and then that's an NCAA violation, which, to be honest with you, is a simple thing as providing a receipt. Like T-Wig giving a kid a haircut for comeback came home and you hook him up all the time and you didn't have a pre-established relationship though before they became a prospect. You're like, hey man, I need you to buy this soda in the barbershop. Your haircut's $1, but we got a but you have a transaction. It's bullshit. But especially when I think the thing that offended Corn more was that they went through the steps with the sushi sack sensei or whatever his name, some dude from Miami that ain't giving us no recruits. Right. He came all the way up and they actually paid him to do it and work with our guys, and our guys ain't any good. Like, it's crazy. You paid a guy to work with sack and he ain't getting you no sack. But you got alumni who do the same thing that you're not even really entertaining. But Alabama don't have these problems because Alabama keeps their players, the former players, involved. No, regardless of who the coach has been. Again, it's just, like I said, it's just simple stuff that I think could make the program better. And I think if you don't like people, if you don't want people talking bad about you, or if you don't like the story, or you don't like what's being said, change the topic. How you change the topic is you bring the people in. Like, it kills me when people are like, James, you're so negative, or you don't like Coach Norvell. When I doubled my booster membership, and when I saw people saying they was dropping tickets, I bought more tickets to every home game because I want that support to be there. It's not as much as $1 million booster, but it's good for me what I do. If they don't like it, like, perfect example, when I was saying stuff about how I know about the Jimbo Fisher stuff is I wrote an article with Jimbo saying Jimbo was leaving and who he was firing, or Jimbo, if Jimbo were to say he was going to shake up the staff, which he was. Boosie called me. Stanford Samuels called me. Hey, James. And he told me what it was from his perspective. He told me his truth. And you know what I did after that? I immediately wrote another article. When I was talking about something on a sports day on my radio show, and it was a little too harsh for his life, he picked up the phone, called me, and said, hey, this is what's going on behind the scenes. You can say that. You can't say this. You can't say that. And I was able to give a little bit more insight on that. That's what you do. You have the ability to do it. It's, do you have the humility to do it?
Brandy got.
Or you want to just keep telling Bird again?
Brandy, you want to talk about the Dugans thing, about what's going on with the coaching staff? You want to get into that?
I mean, in my opinion, I think it's simple. I feel like it's a conversation we've had, and we definitely talked about it on the last podcast, but at some point, and I'll let James speak to it more.
I'm talking about what the recent information that you got.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not going to bring that to the timeline.
Okay.
No.
All right, I'll just check. right.
No. You talking about no.
Okay. But so, well, we'll let James go to the coaching. What do you think about the coaching? Do you think there's going to be a shakeup on the coaching staff?
I hope they fire Fuller. I'm going to just say that real quick. I don't know if he'll fire his boy, but I want him to get rid of that Joker, man, because he said something about Amari Gaynor, like, you got to find snaps. Fuck you mean you got to find snaps? Put his ass on the field. That's the kind of shit I don't understand. What do you mean you got to find snaps? You the boss. Put him on the field. So we sitting around looking at film trying to figure out find snaps. Here's how you find snaps. Take that sorry-ass motherfucker who went in the game out and put him in. That's how you do it.
Yeah, DJ Man. Lundy shouldn't be playing over Amari Gaynor. That shouldn't be happening at all.
I like Lundy. I like him, but he looked like a middle linebacker, and he probably should be playing fullback. And I ain't talking shit about fullback, James. You know that. But I'm just saying.
Shit, I'm a fullback because I couldn't play middle linebacker.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That mother, you know. If I'm going somewhere and I think I might get into a fight, I'm taking Lundy with me. But if I'm trying to cover somebody on the edge and out in space, I'm telling Lundy to stay home, man. I don't need no dude built like that out in space like that.
Right. And that's the problem is that, like, one, well, T-Wig knows ball. But my mama could tell you that. Well, my mama broke me down this week. I was so fucking mad at my mama, dog. And I love my mama. I was so mad at her. And she was like, baby, did you watch that game? I'm like, mama, you know I watched the game. She's like, is everything okay? Like, they all right? It's not supposed to look like that, right? And I'm like, no, mama, it's not supposed to look like that. If a 60-something-year-old woman don't know shit about sports can look at a game or a box score and say it's not supposed to look like that, I expect dudes who make six figures to be able to do this relatively easy. But, I mean, I think he'll make shakeups because he can. And guys can become scapegoats. And it gives him the opportunity to bring in what he can, who he wants, but he has to be careful.
Okay, hold on, James. Two guys. When you say bring in who he wants, why didn't he bring in who he wanted in the beginning?
Well,
this was his team, this was his coaching staff. Why wouldn't he have brought in who he wanted?
Let me rephrase that. He's going to, like, when I say who he wants, like, he'll get rid of them and bring somebody. But Fuller wasn't his first choice. Just like Mike wasn't our first choice as head coach. But Fuller was somebody he knew. Fuller was the girl, was the girl at prom that you know you could get. Like, you go ask the fine girl, but if her and then the other girl decline you, you know you can go holler at Stacey, and Stacey can go to prom. So he knew that was the option because he had the relationship and that was a better job than Memphis. But I'm going to say this. And I agree with everybody. How can we give Mike a pass for COVID and no spring? And those are real legitimate, kind of legitimate excuses. But and the offense hasn't been stellar at all. And give a pass and not give a pass to the DC, who did not have spring ball and was affected by COVID just as much. Mm. It's either the standard that we're going to hold people to, or we're just going not to hold people to a standard. That's the only problem I have. And nobody can give you a real legitimate excuse outside of because I say so, basically. Mm. And I get it. It's just like, you know, but Fuller would be the scapegoat.
I don't think Fuller's getting fired.
The rumor was the chatter was after the Louisville loss is that they were going to fire Fuller. They didn't. So I know where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm. He'll probably be the fall guy. The problem is if you fire Fuller, ain't no DC in their right mind coming in and keeping the whole staff. So now you fire Fuller, you got to get rid of an entire defense that just got there. And maybe you won't get rid of Papadakis or whatever his name is because the special teams have shown signs of life. Odell's contract is up this year, if I remember correctly. So Odell is expendable. That being said, And I think Dugan's contract is up after this year.
But they're both gone. I mean, I'm just say that out right now. Right? They're both gone.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I don't think either one of those are absolutely getting the most out of their position groups. Let me just say, I'll leave it at that. I've said a lot more.
Yeah. But my thing is that, and that's not me, because I want, because I know Dugan's be listening. So, like, I ain't me calling for it, but I'm just saying that's not necessarily the wisest thing to do unless you truly bring in somebody who is that much better.
And yeah, I guess my thing is right now he needs to fill his roster with some more recruit. We talked about his inability to recruit. I think at this point he needs to add some recruiters. And if Dugan's and the furniture are now, not recruiting at the level that they should have.
Production-wise, you're on the field. They haven't done well. But I also think that's route combos. And I also think if he's really letting Dilly call the offense, then that is an indictment of Mike Norvell in of itself. Because Dilly's never called offense before. And this isn't on the, again, I don't even like saying Mike needs on the job training. But you can't have a head coach getting on the job training and an OC getting on the job training. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Hold on, is that happening?
Out of all those people.
I was gonna say, I didn't know that. I didn't know Dillingham was calling
plays.
That's
what he keeps saying, Dilly calling the plays, and I don't believe it, but I'm just saying, out of all those guys, when it comes to recruiting, Dugan's is the only one who held his rope.
Yeah.
So, like, in Dugan's recruiting, for the wide receiver class isn't bad right now. Odell is the one that, you know, leaves something to be desired with deep tackles, but you'll never, ever, I don't have anything bad to say about Odell and never will. I'll talk freely about anybody else but them two. But when you think about quarterback, you know, Kenny brought in Purdy and Tate, and neither one of them are good. Actually, let's put it like this. Every quarterback that Florida State put out on that field looked the same.
Yeah.
If you want to be if you want to be honest. So when people say it's the talent, if everybody looks the same, that's not the talent. That you're being coached to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They all threw three interceptions. Has there ever been anybody remember a game where three quarterbacks threw an interception and damn near the same type?
Hey, and James, don't you see something funky about the way Chubba throw the ball?
Funky? The man throws the ball like Al Bundy.
Hey,
man, because the reason why I'm gonna shine on this one right here, because there's two things that happen. It keeps happening. And I know, this is how I know I got you on the somebody on the intellectual side. I'm kicking facts that you can refute. That you can either refute or you can like look up and be like, all right, huh. The defense was ranked 65th. Last year, it's ranked like 110 now. It's bad. Offensive passing was ranked this. It's ranked that now. Okay. That's bad. I'm just sending this out in the first. Man, your energy changed since Jeff Sims. Jeff decommitted in December. Florida fans have found stuff where I was glowing about Mike because I like Mike's energy when he starts talking. But Jeff, but because people always bring up Jeff Sims in my energy changing, Jeff looks like a fucking quarterback when he throws the ball. He might throw it to the other team, but it looks like it's supposed to look when a quarterback. Chubba looks, and to Chubba's credit, it could be the collarbone. But if it's his collarbone still bothering him and they trotted him out there, they deserve to be arrested by Child Protective Services. If they're throwing out a guy out there.
I got a question. This is for Wig. Wig, do he not remind you of Blake Bortles? He reminds me so much of Blake Bortles.
Tried my dog boat.
Blake a little bit more athletic, but that throwing motion just looks so, man, that throwing
it's
motion.
It's funky, man.
It's very funky, man.
It's funky. But you know what? There's some old fans, though, that's a trip because, like, I ain't been to a high school game in years. And it's a shame why I don't go. Because I'm scared of young people. But
I'm scared of, too.
you got every right.
Yeah, so, you know, I know that's stereotypical to say. I think I'm scared of what I do to one of them, and then I get in trouble. So, but there's a lot of cats that follow the nose that go to high school games,
that said Sims wasn't it. So I ain't going to let them off the hook, too. Mm-hmm. They used to go to those games and be like, he ain't it. But I didn't never see him in high school. I can only go by what Denny and James, they used to say he was good. And then when I saw him against us, I'm just going on Mike. When you look at as a prospect, and I always tell people what prospect is. This is the guys that I get on about the draft, especially some guys that always mess with me on Locked On. Prospect is the likelihood that one guy's going to be more successful than the other. The likelihood. That's all it is. So when they talk about why one guy ain't picked over the other, the likelihood, that's what NFL people go on. So Jeff sent the likelihood, with me looking at him and looking at him, the likelihood that dude going to turn out better than him is you got to watch yourself when you a guy, little old dude like Mike, and make sure you don't go recruit a whole bunch of little old Mike Norvell. This Florida State. Don't be going out and getting a whole bunch of little Mike Norvell. It don't work like that, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's...
And I don't know if we're going to keep Altmyer or not. And that's the thing about it. You know, I like that kid. I don't know what we're going to... Man, we're going to probably have 12 JUCO kids on that damn recruiting class next year.
If we're not careful, we'll be Kansas.
Mm. Oh.
When Kansas. Charlie Weiss came in, and took the job at Kansas, he got rid of a lot of kids. He got a lot of people off. When did JUCO rank, which, if you don't know what JUCO is, that's the land of misplaced toys if you watch Toy Story. It's a reason you go JUCO. And it's not saying you can't find jewels like Webb. I'm just saying, either you're dumb, or you're a little too short, or you're not fast enough, or, you know, there's some things that just, or you're emotionally unstable. There's some things that happen to JUCO. JUCO ain't light. The guys that I knew that went to JUCO that came to Florida State that were really, really good, like Chauncey Davis. Well, Chauncey Stovall was dope. He was normal. Chauncey Davis, and then a guy named Nate Hardage. If you're a real FSU fan, you know, go in those names right there. Nate Hardage is still weird. Like, when I mean weird, like, weird, weird. Chauncey Davis didn't talk for the entire first year he was at Florida State. What I mean didn't talk, like, and he covered his plate when he ate. Like, he was in, like, his JUCO was at the longest yard. And I had to tell him, like, dog, this is safe, bro. Like, you can eat as much honey fried chicken as you want, bro. You can eat some more, dog. Like, you don't have to worry about somebody taking your food, man. You safe. You ain't got to work that hard no more. Like, it was like all his life he had to fight. So you're going to go get a bunch of those guys, a bunch of transfers who, so to establish your culture, you're going to go get a bunch of guys who weren't happy with their culture. Bring into your culture, make it make sense, on top of a bunch of new freshmen. So, like, you're going to get mercenaries to try to prop up your school when that's just not how you do it. And a bunch of people are talking about what Saban did with Bama, and with that, without realizing, you know, the number sounds big, right? When you say Saban brought in 56 recruits over the span of 2 years. 56 sounds like a lot, especially when you only have 85 on a roster. But I don't know if people realize 56 divided by 2 is 28. Mm-hmm. The maximum allotment is 25. That's only three. You only oversigned by three people. That's not running off a lot of guys. Saban didn't start running off guys until like year three, when he really had, he had his people from good coaches go to situations and make it work. Year two, does anybody know what Nick Saban was in year two?
SEC championship. Yeah, I like what Urban said. Urban said, there, as soon as you sign the contract, they're your player.
Yep.
They're your guy as soon as you sign the contract.
So excuses aren't it. Like, so again, even when I talk with Mike, I understand all of the things that get held to him. See what you brought up, phenomenal point, something that I need to start telling people too. Mike can't help that Tad got fired. The only thing that Mike did was take a job. With that being said, Mike took the damn job. He didn't say, only pay me half of my money in year one because I'm only going to give you half of the results. He came in and said, the standard is the standard. I'm going to do things the known way, the right way. We're going to play. You're going to do things you will notice immediately. We are going to play at a championship standard. We're going to, a lot of things he said all sound really good. But when you look at him back at the light, none of what he said is true. And all I can do is hold you accountable, right, wrong, or indifferent to what you said you were going to do. And you have not done what you, at this point, you haven't done what you said you're going to do. Now, I can hope you'll do it, but right now you haven't. Regardless of what the excuses, to quote my mother when she asked me, why does it look so bad? And I said, well, mom, people are saying that, you know, COVID and, you know, they didn't have a spring. And my mother and my grandmother are very smart women, sarcastic, but to the point women. It's what makes them amazing. Is they said, well, is FSU the only school that didn't have a spring? And the only school that has to deal with COVID? And I said, no. She said, so it's just an excuse. And no matter how you paint it, that's it. But I know this. I've joked with you, Theory. One time I came into your chair high as a kite off of a brownie that Reggie gave me. And you had the shape of my beard. And I joked. I said, man, if Theory would have messed my beard, I'd have messed Theory up. And it wouldn't even be your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, I sat in that chair, and you got the Clippers.
You know how to shout your ass, though, right?
I'm not even mad at you. Probably my point is irrational or not? Irrational or not irrational? When you pay somebody to do a service, you expect to get champions for service. So that's just the only thing. Like, I say that to say this. Nobody, most people have never met Mike. They've never had a conversation with Mike. Mike would not acknowledge them if they walk on the street. Mike does not care about you. But you give Mike a level of grace that you won't give your favorite podcast. You won't give your favorite people that grace. But you're willing to give a stranger a grace when they are a very well-paid employee of the state, and they're supposed to be excellent. And all you're doing is what they said that they were going to be able to do. If you go to your job and you tell your boss in the interview that you're good at Microsoft Word, and they ask you to do something on Microsoft Word, and you can't do it on Microsoft Word, and they come in and they hold you accountable to that, you can't say, well, I just got my job. I just got on the job. COVID. I ain't had no spring. Like, try using these excuses in your everyday life and see what how people will look at you like you're stupid. That's all I ask people. People try to make sports way too complicated. Sports is a microcosm of society. Go treat sports the same way you treat you treat everyday life, and you'll start seeing athletes and as arrogant as what you think. They're arrogant because you hold them to a standard that you won't even hold yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like I always say, I understand the reasons, but the reasons don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reasons, they don't really matter. I mean, you can have reasons for everything. People want the job to get done. I think the biggest thing Mike got to do, he got to recruit. Well, what he should have did, he needs to recruit everybody at FSU first. You need to recruit the players. You need to recruit the parents. Recruit the admin. He need to recruit. Like, he needs to get everybody to buy into what he got going on. And, I mean, it's coaches on that staff that's not bought in. If we just being 100.
Well, first of all, before they buy in, whatever it is that he's trying to get them to buy into has to be sellable.
Yeah, that's true.
And he needs to make sure he got a good staff. I think nothing humble you other than like getting your ass whooped, especially in front of a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get your ass whooped in private, it's one thing. Let somebody videotape it and you get world star. That's some humility for your ass right there, Jack. And he getting whooped on TV. And you got to fix it. Whatever you got to do, I don't care if it's firing bald head ass Fuller and hiring Muschamp or whoever comes open. and D Rob and going down there and put some hot sauce in your backpack and apologizing down in South Florida. Yep. I don't care if it's eating garlic crabs on 45th Street. I don't care what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right. We see Nick Saban. We see Nick Saban doing the
let you slide.
What is it called? The let you slide in living room.
I ain't lying. Come on.
Guarantee you can't do an electric slide, but you better believe he's gonna be in there doing that electric slide every time somebody asks for it.
Hey, come over here to Jacksonville and let me or Angel Ross put a design in your head. Something you got to. Hey, bro. You gotta switch it up, and you, whatever it is you have to do, whatever it is you have to do, yeah, whatever it is you have to do to make inroads in recruiting, and get it right. You gotta get it right, man. But I tell you what, I think we gotta give kids some credit too, because there's nothing that will sell a recruit quicker than coming to your school, well, other than money, and we don't want to talk about that, but playing time.
Yeah.
It's still Florida State, and when people say your school is a hot mess, it's a hot mess, but it's a hot temporary mess. And what I mean by that, we have to understand, Florida State is still within a decade of winning the national championship. Mm-hmm. They're within a decade of winning the national championship. And you could turn a program around in 3 years. They haven't been on probation. You turn that shit around in 2 or 3 years. It's the players. And this is the only thing I hate about players. Guys can go where they want to go. They can play where they want to play. The guys that I've always talked to and consulted with, I told them to be careful, especially the guys that transferred. And a lot of times I did it in basketball. I said, you got to be careful now, looking at a situation. Guys would be disgruntled. I remember this kid was leaving Wake Forest. He left Wake Forest talking about, man, he don't like it socially. So he was cherry picking where he wanted to go. And then he said he wanted to go to Auburn. I said, you say you ain't like Wake Forest away from football. You said it wasn't nothing to do. Where did you get to Auburn, Alabama? Ain't going to be nothing for you to do up there either. And so they like to look at depth charts. Love to look at depth charts. I said, you better be careful doing that. Got to look at depth chart. And then guess what? As soon as you get up there, guess what they do? They sign a 5-star running back and then they take a transfer. So you got to watch that kind of stuff. You transfer in basketball. You think you leave one school, they got, you know, two NBA guys in front of you. You go to another school, oh, they ain't got nobody. This dude was a 3-star. Yeah, but you get there, and then they sign another kid from JUCO. They take another guy who's a 4-star who's from the area. And they want to get another guy. They playing that guy because he's a junior at that guy's high school, and they recruiting that guy too. So they don't play you. You have to watch that, trying to cherry pick stuff. So I always try to tell kids, stop trying to go to a ready-made situation. You are the solution. You and the 10 or 15 guys that's going to go with you, y'all can change it. Y'all are. It ain't a rate. Stop trying to go to a ready-made situation. Now, when you're talking Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, that's different. Because what those guys are saying, I'm going there for 3 years and I know I'm going to make it to the league, even if I only play 1 year. I'm going to make it to the league. So they're looking at it as an investment. And they're looking at it as training in order to get to the NFL. So when you're talking about those schools, that's a totally different animal. You ain't even talking about playing time. When a kid going to them schools, that kid know he's going to get limited carries. Jalen Waddle didn't even start until this year. You feel me?
Right.
They know that's a whole different machine. When you're a 5-star, it don't mean nothing when you get there because everybody's a 5-star. Right. When you walk in the door, you already know what it is up there. So that's like going to Kentucky or North Carolina or basketball. You know you ain't get for 5-6 shots a game. Anthony Davis was the 5th leading scorer on the team, and he was the #1 pick in the draft. So it's different. But playing time, that's what Mike ought to do. Mike need to humble himself and then say, he needs to write those two words, and he needs to keep saying it in press conferences. What we have is playing time. We have playing time available. That speaks volumes to any recruit. Am I right or wrong, James?
No, you're not. And I think that's what he has to do. And he's got to, again, revamp and really sell what he's trying to do. Because if we said this for any other school in the nation, that, like, shoot, if this happened at Arkansas, Sam Pittman would be even a bigger name, bigger star than what he is right now. If you say you're returning your starting quarterback, a 1,000-yard receiver, an offensive line that got pieces, but is getting better, three of the top 10 defensive tackles in the nation, two top defensive ends that have battled injury but are fully healthy, and a who's who of blue chip talent in the secondary. I don't give a damn what anybody said. If you look at that on paper and say that that's a two-win team at over the past halfway point of the season, you're just a negative Nancy. Like, you're a negative person in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just can't project based off of that. Like, that it's going to be bad. So when people say Mike came into a worse situation than Taggart, it's just simply not true. Now, he did not have Cam Akers. We don't have Cam Akers. But statistically speaking, our running game is better than it was at this point last year. So you're just not able to do the passing game very well. And again, when I say all three guys look the same, you got when you look down south and you see what Mullen's been able to do with what he was able to do with Felipe Franks first, then what he's been able to do with Kyle Trask, and then when Emory Jones has gotten in, he looks like he's functional. None of our guys are functional at all. And that's the part that just, you know, still continues to baffle me. He's just got to, you know, but these kids, he's got to sell the reinvention of Florida State with playing time and getting opportunities. But in order to do that, he's got to be able, he's got to not recruit like he's at Memphis. Imagine a world where you have Jalen Hood, you've got Brandon Jenkins, you've got Amari Harvey, you've got Brandon Jennings. You've got I forgot the 4-star wide receiver from out of Westlake that I sent the email to Dugans about, because there's a guy who everybody believes is a troll who just has access to one of the top teams in the state of Georgia, who he tries to bring people to, but we don't go for him. You got Farmer, you know, just think about those guys. Like, you could legitimately have a top 15, borderline top 10 class if you just took advantage of the relationship. But that's it. This is Mike's team. It's his toy. And he gets to play with it the way he wants to play with it until somebody steals it. So I just hope he's able to lead us to championships and not dig a further hole for himself. But I gotta hop off anyway, guys. But just hopefully, like I said, hopefully it gets better before it gets worse. But just know there's more transfers coming. So especially if we get blown out by North Carolina State. Damn.
Okay. Anybody else got some final words? Wig.
No, man, my final word is I ain't transferring, you know, but I'm going to hang in. But, my only thing was is only thing I said was it's going to be a time and a place to fire off on them, and I'm at that place now. You know what I'm saying? It's just that I try to take the emotion out of it and wait. And I knew what I was seeing, but the thing is that there could have been reasons for what you were seeing as far as COVID and all of that stuff. You give people the benefit of the doubt. Now, I ain't getting nobody the benefit of the doubt no more. It is what it is.
Right.
It is what it is. Like, you know, so they got to fix it. They got to get it right. I appreciate y'all boys having me on, man.
Hey, man, Wig. No, hey, I
appreciate
you,
being on, man.
All right.
Same, hey, man. I want you to text me about this Duke spin-off.
Oh,
I'm curious.
Okay. I'll send that to you, Jay. Well, yeah, I can send it to you. I can get Brandon send it to you. It's no problem.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
All right. Brandon, you got anything before we go?
No, man. Listen, we know these boys bring it. It's why we had them on, man. Both able to keep it 100. And, yeah, we appreciate them boys being on for real.
Yeah. I just want people not to be so quick to hop on these players, because I think ultimately, the start of the season, these players wanted to buy in. They wanted to believe. And they do care about Florida State. They really do care about Florida State. I just think that I don't think the coach has done a good enough job to recruit them. I think he came in. I think the way he came into Florida State would have been fine if you're Nick Saban or if you're a coach that got a lot of cachet. But he didn't have that. And I think he got to humble himself and just kind of basically what everybody said on the pod. So, you know, we'll go from there.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna end it with a tweet from Post, man.
Yeah,
y'all know him, Palm Beach Post. A lot of these players have had three head coaches, multiple position coaches, multiple coordinators, but this is the staff they quit on that matters.
Ouch. Okay. All right. We gotta accept the results of this.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't do like other parts of this country where you just don't accept.
Not gonna stop the count.
Yeah, we can't stop the count. The count has to continue.
Yeah, no, we're gonna keep counting.
All right, man. Hey.
All right. You just heard the Listen Up Podcast. We out.
Yep.